please, this morning to the book of Isaiah and the first chapter of Isaiah. We're going to read a lot of scripture as we begin today, reading first in Isaiah chapter 1, which is our introduction, and then, as God allows, we'll endeavor to take an exposition from Isaiah 58. It's always good to hear the turning of the pages of God's Word. Isaiah chapter 1, and I'll read the entire chapter, and as we've observed before, I have nothing inspired to say to you today, but that which we're about to read is the inspired Word of God. And so we should give close heed as we read God's Word. It's so easy for our minds to wander and for us to think on other things, but may God turn our hearts to His inspired Word. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, and Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They have gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? He will yet revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been cleansed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, and as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams, and the fat of lambs, and fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot with it. I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widows. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, Ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after reward. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty, the one of Israel, Ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries, and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand unto thee, and purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward they shall be called the city of righteousness, and the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her coverts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as sparks, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. Let us look to our God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercies to your people. We thank you that you are merciful to give warning to your people. We thank you that you are merciful, that you will not cast us out, though we sin and sin and sin again. Yet we are thine own. None of them is lost. Lord, we thank you that you send roosters like you did to Peter to warn us to turn us back. Father, we thank you for the example that we as your people today, the engrafted branch, we who were not born of Abraham's seed and yet were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, we who receive the blessings of Israel today, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us Israel for an example. You have given us your people, the descendants of Abraham, to rebuke us, to warn us, to instruct us, to show us how we ought to order ourselves in the courts of God, to show us what is true worship and true devotion to God, and that which is just simply hypocrisy. Father, bless us and guide us in your word today. Feed and edify our souls. Reveal your truth. May we see Christ in the word. And may we, your people, be improved today by the Spirit of God. We thank you that you are purifying to yourself a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. But Father, we confess before you today that we are filled with spots. There are many wrinkles within us, within your people. Father, may your Spirit today remove some more spots. May your Spirit today iron our souls. Continue that work of purifying your people and making us like Christ. May we as a congregation grow in the Lord, grow in your word, and grow in our devotion, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn over with me to the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58. And let me say that I sometimes have trouble reading Scripture aloud. And if I misplace a word or read a passage in a way that is totally contrary to what it actually says, please understand that that is the frailty of a human tongue and never a desire to pollute or change what the Word of God says. I want to read another passage of Scripture, because this 58th chapter of Isaiah reverts right back to the first chapter. The first chapter of many books will lay out what the book itself is going to say. And then throughout the book, we find those things taught and put into action. And if you want proof that there was one Isaiah, rather than two, as the liberals will say, compare the 58th chapter to the first chapter, and it's obviously the same author. And he's continuing the theme and developing it. So let me read now for you the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Ye seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord, to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye may break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from thy midst of thee the yoke, and the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. As thou hast drawn out the soul to the hungry, and if thou hast drawn out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfied the afflicted soul, then shalt thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. In the 58th chapter of Isaiah, we find the children of Israel, the southern kingdom, He's speaking here to Judah and Jerusalem. We find them very diligent about religion. They're offering sacrifices. They are fasting. They can check all the boxes. They've done the right things. And they're saying, we fasted. Why hasn't God heard? We've done what we were supposed to do. Why hasn't God answered? Now, if you remember back to the first chapter there of Isaiah, where God says, I'm tired of your vain oblations. I'm tired. I don't want your feast. I'm sickened by the smell of your sacrifice. Away with it. You see, we find Isaiah writing about 240 years after the kingdom is divided. And you think about that term, that number, 240 years. 240 years, give or take, since the glories of David and Solomon. And to give you a time comparison, we are 242 years from the Declaration of Independence. It's been that long since the kingdom was whole. It's been that long since the glory of God was seen. And he refers to it there in the eighth verse like a cottage in a garden or in a cottage in a vineyard or like a lodge in a garden of cucumbers. And we might think of, a cottage in a vineyard. Doesn't that sound nice? Because we get this romantic idea of a quaint little cottage with smoke coming out of the chimney and so on. But that cottage in the vineyard that's referred to is a reference simply to a booth without walls, just a place to get out of the sun. And the lodge in the garden of cucumbers, and I'll always say cucumbers because that's how he said it in Jamaica instead of cucumbers. It's cucumbers. But a lodge in a garden of cucumbers. It wasn't some nice house. It was just a little place to get out of the weather. It was a temporary dwelling. And that is the way that Jerusalem here is described. It once was the great city. And they once had all the land. And it was a unified kingdom. And now the northern kingdom by this time has already gone into captivity. And the southern kingdom is besieged. And all that is left is this temporary little place, Jerusalem, and the suburbs around it. And they're about to go into captivity as well. And yet, they still have the temple. They are still carrying on their worship as they've always done. God, why don't you hear us? And see, the problem that they faced was that their religion had become their religion. They went through all the motions. If we were to bring it into today's terminology, they had traditional worship. They didn't have a rock band. They didn't have a big light show and all the things that the world tries to think is part church. They still had the sacrifices. They were doing all the right acts. But you see, God is not interested in us doing the right acts. God is not looking for us to perform our ceremony and to recite the Apostles' Creed and to sing the doxology and all these things that we consider to be the right way to worship. God is looking for the heart. God is looking for a people who, though we do these things and we sing these songs, we sing them not from the head but from the heart. You see, they brought the sacrifice, and God says, I'm tired of your sacrifices. The blood of bulls and goats, what is that? You're fulfilling your obligations. Just like our kids clean their room. Open the closet, and it all comes tumbling out. You see, God, though we absolutely believe, yes, there is a proper way to worship and an improper way, God isn't looking for form and structure. God's looking for the heart. God is looking for us to do that which is acceptable in His sight. And so let us go into this 58th chapter. And about 6:30 this morning, I realized that this is probably going to be two messages rather than one, because we have two elements here in this chapter. One, we have the element of the fasting. And in the last two verses, we have the element of the Sabbath day. And I don't really think we can adequately cover both of those elements in one message. I have found typically that 3 to 4 pages, 3 to 5 pages is about 45 minutes. And I've got 9 pages this morning. So I think probably to do justice to the text, we need to divide it. But let us go to verse 1. And here, God is instructing His prophet. And God says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." God doesn't say, "Go tell them." You see, the seriousness of the situation. If our child is playing in the road and there's a car coming, we don't say, hey, Billy, get out of the road. No, we scream it out. Look out, there's danger. And that is what God is telling the prophet to tell His people. Cry aloud, lift up your voice. And that phrase, cry aloud, that we have there is a phrase that talks about the throat, deep in the throat. In other words, belt it out in a deep and booming voice. Let my people see what their danger is. And also there He says, sound the trumpet. And throughout the history of Israel, the sounding of the trumpet was to call, a call to alarm. Paul, speaking of the problems with speaking in tongues, said, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, how will the people prepare themselves for battle? When they marched around Jericho, they blew the trumpet and the walls fell down. When they were to move the camp of Israel, they blew the trumpet and the people came. It was a signal. It was a call to arms. It was a call to action. And here, Isaiah, under the instruction of God, is told to call out to the people of God with the sound of the trumpet. Pay attention. Wake from your slumber. This is important. We're in a battle. And so, show my people their transgression. Show the people of God why it is that what was once the true worship of God has degenerated and deteriorated down into nothing more than form without the heart. Sound the trumpet. Show my people their transgression. Jeremiah 6, verses 16 and 17, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest to your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I will set a watchman over you, saying, hearken unto the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Oh, what a condemnation we find there from Jeremiah. That when the sound of the trumpet went out to the people, they didn't hearken. And as I've said already, we're in a situation here where the northern kingdom is already going into captivity. The southern kingdom doesn't have long to stand on its own because they would not hearken. If you look at verse 2, there we find, yet they seek me daily. The people were daily at the temple. They delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness. Now, if you were to ask the average worshiper coming to the temple if they were doing the right things, yes, certainly we are. You see, they had gotten so used to marching to the temple and so used to bringing their sacrifices that they could do it all without really thinking about what they were doing. Christ said of the multitude in His own day in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, this people draw near unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Oh, may God give us warning from the children of Israel that we not fall into the rut of just coming to church on Sunday, reading our Bibles, praying with hearts that are disengaged. And I mentioned before the scripture reading that it is so easy, and I say this because I've done it, to sit in a service when the scripture's being read and suddenly find that you've missed the last 10 verses because you were thinking about lunch. Or to kneel down to pray and suddenly find, I'm not praying. I'm thinking about what I'm doing tomorrow. My mind is off on something else. How easily we can go through all the motions. And God says, "Your sacrifice stinks in my nostrils. I won't hear your prayers. I won't bless you because your heart is not here." And so, "You seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that truly did righteousness, and a nation that has not forsaken the ordinances of their God." Now, they would say, "No, we do the ordinances. We bring our sacrifice. We do what we're supposed to do." And God says, "No, you've forsaken the ordinance, because all it is formality. All it is nasty religion that doesn't reach the heart." When Christ said, "You draw nigh to me with your mouth and you honor me with your lips," he was quoting from Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 13 of this same book. "Wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips do they honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of man." You see, those same words that God ordained from the prophet Isaiah to Isaiah's day, still 700 and some years before the coming of Christ, Christ takes those same words and applies them to his day. And may God give us grace to take them for our day, that we may not be guilty of honoring God with our lips, but our heart being far. Verse 3, they say, "Wherefore have we fasted, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fasting ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors." Now we're going to deal with the matter of fasting here. But I believe that the principles we find in these next 10, 11 verses apply to every area of our walk with the Lord. It's not just fasting that we find application. It's fasting specifically that's being spoken of here. Don't misunderstand me. But we can apply the truths that are taught here about why they're fasting and why their fasting was polluted, and apply them to our scripture reading, apply them to our church attendance, apply them to our tithing, apply them to our witness, in every area of what we're doing for the Lord. We can find these same things applied. There's two elements here in the end of verse 3 that he uses to show them why their fasting failed. "Behold, in the day of your fast, ye take pleasure, and ye exact all your labors." You see, they're claiming great righteousness here, and yet their fasting was for themselves. The reason that they were performing their fast was so that they might receive for themselves. Remember what God, remember the example of King Saul? When God told Saul that he was to destroy all the Amalekites, and Samuel comes along and Saul says, "I've done everything that God said to do." And Samuel says, "Well, then what means the bleeding of the sheep?" You see, we can claim, as they did, that we're doing everything we should and still be guilty. Your fasting is polluted, first of all, by your own pleasure. Their fast had become great celebrations. The purpose of their fast was repentance. The purpose that they were to come before God was self-loathing and humble repentance before the throne of God. But in their desire to be together, desire to be at the temple, desire for worship, the feast had taken over. And their fasting had become great celebrations and great times of joy. And they found great pleasure in it. They went through all the motions. But if you go back to chapter 1 and verse 12 to 14, when you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. Even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I'm weary with them. You see, these things that had been designed for truth, now suddenly, it wasn't about worshiping God. It was about what I can enjoy. It was for their own pleasure. And we find also that their fasting had become a matter of great pride. Remember what Christ said in Matthew 6, verse 16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites are, because they love to crunch on their face. Oh, I'm fasting today. I'm on my fast, yes. You see, their religious activity, their fasting, had become a matter of great pride. And oh, how they loved to let everyone know that they were fasting. And we can become the same way. Aren't we wonderful? We're traditional in our worship. We read our Bibles. Ah, yes, we are the righteous people. And you see, our own self gets in the way of truly reading the Word of God for worship. Truly fasting and repentance, not that I might show myself to others, but that God may show myself to myself. And you see, when God begins to show ourselves to ourselves, then we begin to hate ourselves. Then we begin to say, woe is me, for I am undone. Just like when Isaiah in chapter 6 sees the Lord high and lifted up. The closer we get to God, through prayer, through Bible reading, through fasting, through our devotion, the more we see ourselves as what we are. And you see, their fast had become for their own pleasure. Ah, yes, we delight in reading the Word of God. But the Word of God is a sword. And it pierces the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It shows us the wickedness of our hearts. Their fasting had become a matter of great pleasure. And then we find also that they called on Jehovah to bless them, but also the children of Israel called on idols just in case. You see, their calling on God was impure because it was mixed with idols. Again, if you go back to chapter 1 and verses 29 to 31. Chapter 1, verse 29, for they shall be ashamed of their oaks, of the oaks which they have desired, and ye shall be confounded in the gardens that ye have chosen. The oaks and the gardens there in chapter 1 are reference to worshiping in the groves. And it's interesting, it's not a direct parallel, but it's interesting use of language that they become a lodge in a garden of cucumbers. Because of their worship of false gods. You see, they had mixed in the worship of idols with the worship of the true God. Their worship was impure, just in case we'll worship something else. You know what we worship today? I'm afraid many times we worship American fundamentalism. We worship our religious culture. We're a Christian nation.
We're a godly people. We're not like the heathen. Oh, yeah, we worship Jehovah. Aren't we grand? Aren't we great? And you see, we make idols for ourselves. May God give us grace that we worship Him alone, unpolluted, unsullied by the world. And then we find, fourthly, that their fasting was polluted because of the motive for which they fasted. Look at verse 4. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice heard before the Lord. You're not going to fast in this way, and I'm going to hear. And of course, we think of the Pharisee. I thank God that I'm not as other men. God could not accept their fast because it was polluted with nasty religion. Your fasts are polluted with your pleasure. But then there's one more element in the last part of verse 3. Their fast was performed for their own profit. The last five words of verse 3 are, you exact all your labors. What do they mean by exacting all their labors? Well, basically, they were punching their time card. Okay? I think anyone that works hourly will take their check and take their pay stub and make sure they got paid for all their hours. You see, they were, Lord, we fasted. Why haven't you heard? We've called upon you. Why haven't we been blessed? We've done all these things, and their worship of God, rather than being true worship to God, was worship for what we can get. They exacted all their labors. And you think about it. We can witness because there's a crown in heaven for the one that witnesses, so I'm going to witness. We can read the book of Revelation because there's a promise of reward to those that read the book of Revelation. We can attend church because God certainly will bless me. We can tithe because if I tithe, God's going to reward me. God's going to give me more. And you see, these are good things to do and things we're commanded to do, but they've got to be done for the right reasons. Our service to God is not for what we can get. We're not punching a time card. We're not exacting all our labors that God may do these things for us because we have done what we were supposed to do. And this is borne out there in verse 3. They say, we've fasted and you haven't heard, you haven't seen. We've afflicted our soul and thou takest no knowledge. Verse 4 and 5. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and smite with the fist of the wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Is the purpose of the fast to afflict the soul? Was the purpose of the fast so they could walk around hungry? Folks, I'm walking around hungry, but it's not fasting. I'm trying to lose weight. You see, the purpose of the fast wasn't to discipline the body. It was to discipline the soul. Is it to bend over as a bulrush? Is it to prostrate ourselves before God? No, it is to seek the Lord. Yes, we prostrate ourselves before the Lord. And there is much to be said for praying flat on your face before God. And yet, that's not the purpose. The purpose is to seek the Lord. You see, if our fasting is for the discipline of the body, then we're no different than the Romanists that beat themselves with a whip. It's outward, and God is looking for the inward. If our purpose is simply to bend ourselves over before God, we're no different than those that worship idols. And may God teach us that our worship is to God, that we are to seek Him. All the form and function of the things we do is nothing but the smoke of the sacrifice that's a nasty in the nostrils of God. But the Lord has showed us what is good. Seek the Lord with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Now, folks, we're going to stop there for today. And I know we're kind of stopping mid-sentence in a way. But we could go on for another hour and a half today. We'll pick up next week. Because the other portion of this chapter, he's going to show us in the next several verses where true blessing is, and then rush right in to our observance of the Sabbath day. Is this day for our own pleasure? Or is it for God's pleasure? We've seen the sacrifices were for God's pleasure, not for theirs, and yet they'd made them their own. Is the Sabbath day a day to say our own words? Or His? So may God give us grace that His Spirit might teach us through His Word. Let us stand for prayer today. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord God, I pray that You would feed Your sheep, that You would feed Your people. Lord, I thank You that the Scripture preaches itself. It does not need man's explanation or exposition to be profitable. Lord, make Your Word profitable to our souls this day. And Father, we pray this now in Jesus' name.